It's Tuesday, and that means it's time for Riley Gates, our K-State insider and former high school football and basketball star.
Sigvaneri fumbles the snap, picks it back up. Pressure comes from Luke Geiler. He backs into the end zone, and Blue Jays are going to get two more points. Riley Gates back there, as well as Caleb Brummer.
Okay, so he isn't Darren Sproles or Dean Wade. Cool last name, by the way. But Riley's knowledge knows no bounds.
I love Whataburger. I really like the patty melt. The patty melt is really good. It's like a double burger, so you get the traditional burger. You're not going with chicken or anything like that, but just kind of the sauce that's on the patty melt. I really like it.
And he's already working on his political career.
We never lied. I don't know what you're talking about. We were never liars.
It's Go Powercats' very own Riley Gates. Brought to you by Hanson Auction and Realty in Beloit. And by Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. Right now on the Sports Ticket.
And Dusty Donitz back in studio with you here on Katy Country 94 on the Sports Ticket, 9:34 our time on Waterside Wake Up. And Riley Gates joining us from GoPowerCat.com. As you heard, brought to you by Hanson Auction and Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. Riley, I had this little preview worked up for this. I was going to say that you're the first interview that I've ever had of somebody that I actually held when they were a baby. But I actually did an interview with Parker at the state basketball tournament before you. I'm not counting those little 8-man all-star game interviews that we did.
Well, you know, you couldn't just let me have this one, could you?
No.
You couldn't just let me have one over. All right, I understand.
Parker even gets this one. It's just the way it is, man.
Fair enough. That's
all right.
That's
It's off season, as I said earlier, but there's a lot going on right now with K-State sports, so we're going to try to cover it all here as good as we can. I know you're working a lot at GoPowerCat.com on a lot of these stories. I'm going to start first with football with Hunter Risen and the situation with him, because we haven't talked to you about that yet. Hunter, if people don't know, was arrested on a domestic battery charge there on that was last Friday. And was released on a $1,000 bond and said on Twitter that he didn't do anything wrong. Chris Klieman does have a standard for his players, though, and has suspended Risen indefinitely. Riley, what do you know about that situation right now? And first of all, just overall basis of what actually happened there that you know of with Hunter Risen.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's something you got to be really careful about, because it's all, you know, alleged. You know, the innocent until proven guilty, but... I mean, from the sounds of it, I mean, it sounds like something definitely happened, you know, whether or not it was a fight two ways, you know, fighting back and hit someone, or this was totally him. You know, those details are unclear. And the thing I find really weird about it is that there's no police report. There's no, you know, incident report of kind of what went down, what happened, you know, who called the cops, things like that. It's very quiet right now, and that's what's kind of puzzling to me about this, is that usually when things like this happen, you know, with like an NFL player or a college player or whatever, you can usually find information like this, and the Riley County Police Department hasn't released anything about that yet. So, I mean, we're digging right now, but, you know, it's going to be really tough to get anybody to talk about it, just because it's so touchy of a subject. Hunter will appear in court on May 1st at 11 a.m. to, I guess, contest this charge. You know, I'm not sure if he plans. I would imagine he plans to plead not guilty if he's out here tweeting that he didn't do anything wrong. But you know, as of right now, we don't know who the victim was. You know, or alleged victim is. There's some chatter out there about people it could be, about what could have happened, but. But as of right now, really the only thing that we can say with the utmost confidence is that, you know, he has been arrested, that he has a court date, and there is a restraining order out between him and the victim. So, you know, I don't know a whole lot more, and I've spent most of yesterday digging on it, but unfortunately, like I said, there's just not a whole lot extra meat out there to really dig up.
When you look at this now and you know, like we said, we don't know what's exactly going to come out of this, what's going to happen. We talked a lot about Hunter Risen in the spring, obviously, because he's a Michigan State transfer, the son of a former NFL wide receiver, Andre Risen. He's got that pedigree, and a lot of people are interested in seeing what he could do. He had a great spring and really stood out, according to the coaches, according to the quarterback, Skylar Thompson. But let's say that he's suspended indefinitely right now. Let's say that For some reason, he's not going to be back on the team. You know, like he says, he says he didn't do anything wrong. That's an option would be he will be back and nothing will happen. But let's say he's off the team. What does that do to the depth at wide receiver for K-State without having Hunter Risen after the great spring he had?
Well, you know, I think the fortunate thing for K-State is that they have a lot of options at wide receiver. You know, Hunter was the hyped up one, the talked about one, and yet he was still probably the third option just because of the experience that Isaiah Zuber and Dalton Schoen bring back. So, you know, I think they have some depth. You've also got a guy, Sebastian Taylor, who a lot of people were really excited about. And we saw a small glimpse of him last year. He really kind of got in there in that Iowa State game and, you know, stayed under that four-game redshirt mark. You've got Malik Knowles, who's coming back, although it sounds like he's got a little bit of improving to do before he can get on the field. And then you've got, you know, you've got tight end passes. You've got running backs in the flats. I mean, I think they've got plenty of options to go to if Hunter's gone. And he's not going to play for this team ever. But also at the same time, it's going to be a huge blow because I feel like, and you know, I was kind of talking about this for with a few people. It seems like every year, you know, K-State gets a guy, or every few years K-State has a guy that you get really excited about. You know, Carlos Strickland comes to mind, a four-star transfer from Cal, and you're really excited, and then he just doesn't do anything. And, you know, that was kind of the path that Hunter was headed in, it seemed like, was just, you know, another hyped-up guy that had the potential to flame out. But I really think that Hunter is a kid that he was going to, he or he could, not maybe flame out and really kind of meet those expectations. I'm pretty excited about what he could do in this offense, but I do fear that, you know, if these charges do come to be true and you know, he gets convicted of it, you don't have any choice but to kick him off the team.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not really a questionable thing. I mean, in 2019, with everything going on out there, you got to kick him off the team. But you know, it'll be a big blow. But like I said, they got some options. It's just going to have to take some rearranging. Jason Ray is going to have his hands full, I guess, creating some new looks for wide receivers out there.
Again, talking with Riley Gase from GoPowerCat.com, brought to you by Hanson Oxen Realty and Beloit, Heineken Electric, a residential and commercial electric service company. Let's shift to basketball now because there's actually a lot going on in basketball, even though it's the off season. I'm going to start first with Austin Trice. He announced over the weekend or Friday that he'd be transferring from the program, and that would be added with good news, Kapagel, or however you say his last name. So two guys that have transferred out along with that senior class, and Barry Brown, Kamau Stokes, and Dean Wade that are gone. But what's the conventional wisdom here on Trice? I know that he didn't get a lot of minutes last season, but it looked like he might have actually been able to fit in a little bit better here for the upcoming season. What are you hearing from Austin Trice on his reasoning for leaving?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't necessarily want to be too blunt about this, but I'm also gonna, I guess I'm gonna call it what I know. This isn't exactly a case where he wasn't pleased with his playing time or he wasn't pleased with the situation and he decided to look elsewhere. This has been in the works for a while, from both sides, really. Sounds like Austin kind of struggled at times to, I guess, take this seriously. You know, showing up to practice, showing up to workouts, maybe getting involved in some things he shouldn't have, and I'll leave it at that. But it definitely sounds like he was on some pretty thin ice throughout the season. But, you know, they were kind of giving him some extra chances. They were giving him all the time he needed to maybe adjust to Division One level, because you know JUCO to Division One is going to be quite a change in both basketball and off the floor stuff. But so he's going to need some time to transition. But it doesn't sound like he really ever, for lack of a better term, matured into this role. And they've decided it was announced as a transfer, but from what I'm hearing, it was more of a mutual parting of ways, maybe. A little bit more from the coaching side than from the player.
So, and then moving on with K-State basketball, so Austin Trice is gone, and the next thing that came out was Xavier Sneed's going to put his name into the NBA draft. Now, the first thing people want to do is freak out, like, oh, no, Sneed's leaving. What are the odds, do you think? How sure are you that Xavier Sneed is going to be back at K-State? Because I think most people think he is.
Yeah, I'm 99.9% sure that he's going to be back. This is this is exactly like Barry Brown last year. This is exactly like Kamau Stokes two years ago. And he's going for the feedback. He's going to figure out, you know, maybe hopefully get some workouts from some teams. You know, Barry worked out for the Lakers and I think the Nets last year, got some feedback, and now he has a real chance to play in the NBA this year. So I think that's what Xavier's doing here. You know, just going for that feedback, trying to figure out what needs fixed, what needs some working on in his senior year, you know, the offseason and senior year to position himself into the NBA. Because, you know, he's a guy that he's got the NBA body. He's got potentially the talent to play in the NBA. He's kind of like Wesley Iwundu, where you watch him for 4 years and you think, fine player. He can do some things, and then you don't really expect him to play in the NBA, but here's Wesley Iwundu in the playoffs with the Orlando Magic. So, you know, I think that Xavier Sneed is a guy that's going to potentially do something like that, but he thinks he needs that feedback, so he's going to get the opportunity to go and do that. You know, I'm a little split on it. I totally understand it, and if you can get the workout with an NBA team, I mean, by all means, take advantage of it. Go learn and get that necessary feedback you think you want, so that you can improve. And, you know, kudos to him for launching himself into this opportunity. I'm just kind of split on the whole, you know, I think you and I can both watch Xavier Sneed, and we can point out some things that he doesn't do well. He needs to fix his shot. He's not a very good shooter. Three-point shooting is probably one of the worst parts of his game. He could probably get a little bit tougher and maybe grab some more rebounds at times. I mean, I know those are small things. They're not what NBA teams – the NBA teams are going to give him a lot more details than that. So, you know, that'll be good. But I'm always split on these because I feel like if I can sit here and point out things and Bruce Weber can point out things in a film room, maybe you're just better suited to stay, work with your coaches for a few months rather than go off and hear from some other people. But like I said, I certainly understand why you would do it as well.
Yeah, one of the biggest things that when I see Sneed playing that he needs to work on is a quicker release, man. I mean, those threes that he's winding up, how many times he goes up and nearly gets blocked, so he has to decide, no, I'm not going to take this three, I'm going to put it on the deck and dribble. So, yeah, I mean, that's just an example of one of the things that Sneed could fix. As we talk about Austin Trice leaving, there was a guy that came in as a preferred walk-on yesterday. I know that doesn't take a scholarship, but Joe Petrakis, I don't know how you say his name, from Dodge City, but do you think this kid can have any kind of impact for Bruce Weber's program, or is he just going to be one of those scout team players?
Yeah, probably the latter part. You know, he did tell me that he's going to redshirt next year. I guess walk-ons do redshirts from now. That's something I've never really exactly heard of a walk-on doing. But, yeah, it sounds like he's going to redshirt. He's going to come in and try to push the bigs, try to get a little bit better. But, you know, talking to some people at Dodge, looking at his stats and some game film, I think he's probably a fine player. I think he will push guys at times, you know, to maybe get a little bit better. I mean, with a body like that, you know, he's 6'10", he's 225 pounds. He's gonna have the opportunity to make people better. But I just don't really know as of today if he's really going to do a whole lot. Now, he could certainly transition into that role. You know, I don't think any of us ever thought a guy like Brian Rohleder was ever going to make an impact, but he actually played significant minutes in his senior year at times. So, who knows? Maybe Joe gets in here and kind of figures it out and gets it going. But I certainly wouldn't be relying on him for production in the post in the years to come. But they got to get this problem figured out. Bruce Weber just can't recruit bigs. I mean, that's where it's at right now. And you know, here we are on April 23rd, I think, and he doesn't have anybody really coming in that I think can fix this issue. Maybe Montavious Murphy, but it sounds like Montavious might end up getting stuck into a starting five role, potentially, you know, if he transitions well this summer. But, man, I just don't really – I don't really trust a freshman to come in and make a huge impact like that. You know, just the track record of Bruce Weber recruiting big men is not good. And I was hoping he'd go out and get a grad transfer or a junior college transfer that could come in and make an impact, and I guess he still can, but, you know, the signing period's on, kids are committing places, and it's really not sounding right now like he's got a whole lot going for recruiting big men.
You're talking about recruiting. We'll keep it in that area right now. Again, we're talking with Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. Caleb Grill from Mays, stud basketball player here in the state. I think he's one of the, I don't know if he's the top, but he's definitely one of the top in the state of Kansas here for his class of 2019. He reopened his recruitment earlier when South Dakota State's coach went to UNLV, which is where he was committed earlier. Now, Caleb Grill's in Manhattan for a visit right now, if I know that correctly. And what are some of the things, how big of a get would a guy like Caleb Grill be for Bruce Weber at K-State?
Oh, huge. You know, I wrote a story about this yesterday, and it means so much. You know, first off, you're going to replace production. You're losing nearly 40 points a game with the departure of Barry Brown, Dean Wade, and Kyle Stokes. And Caleb Grill averages 18 points a game. He shoots 46, I think, from the field, and about 33 or so from beyond the arc. He's a stud shooting the ball, and I really think he can come in and maybe not start, but certainly going to be on the floor a lot and make an impact this year. So on the floor, it'd be huge because I think he gives you the opportunity to really blossom into something special there. But it's more than that for me. It's not just about on the floor. It's about landing a Kansas kid. Bruce Weber signed one Kansas prospect since he's been the coach at K-State. Now, take it, I guess, a little bit of a grain of salt. It's not like Kansas basketball recruiting is the same as Kansas football recruiting. You know, number one in basketball, you got less scholarships. You don't have that many players that can make an impact at the D1 level that you do in football, but there's still some options out there, and it seems like too often they get away. You know, they go to different places. You got kids going, Mitch Ballack leaving and going to Creighton, and you got Christian Braun going to KU. I mean, they just don't sign Kansas kids, and I think if you could land a Kansas kid, it'd be huge for your reputation now and in the future in case a kid comes along, you know, and he's an impactful player that you want. You can prove that you can sign these Kansas kids. And also, it's a kid that you want, you know. It seems like so often in the last few years they've set their mark high, they've swung and missed, and then they kind of fallen into some second or third options, which at times the second or third option is fine, but that's not what you want. You want to go out and get the guy that you really think that you can, that you need for this team. So that's why the Caleb Grill recruitment is so important to me, is because it would, I guess, take the ghosts away on so many things on Bruce Weber. And this is one that, I'm going to be blunt, you can't let this get away. You got Iowa State and Creighton as the other two schools, and then, you know, potentially UNLV where the South Dakota State coach went to, but I don't think UNLV is really in the picture given how far out it is. I would think that K-State's the favorite, but, you know, Iowa State's sitting here and they've got players leaving left and right for the NBA draft, and I think you could come in and start at Iowa State, so that's going to be a tough one to beat out. But I'm just being real blunt. You can't lose this recruitment, otherwise it's just, I don't know what else you're doing. You won the Elite Eight, or you made the Elite Eight, you won the Big 12 in the last 2 years, and you really haven't had much to show for it in recruiting.
So, yeah, Caleb Grill, when he got the Iowa State offer, like, that was like, man, he would fit real well at Iowa State. But you're hoping, mm-hmm. as a K-State fan, obviously you're hoping that he stays in the state. Again, we're talking with Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. One more question before we get to the off-the-wall question. We talked with you last week about Chester Frazier leaving the program as an assistant coach. Is there any kind of movement there as far as his replacement's concerned?
Well, you know, hearing some things at times, kind of hearing some rumors that it could be an in-staff hire, and, you know, that would kind of lead you to believe Drew Sparrow, Jermaine Henderson, or Shane Southwell as those three options if they're going to hire in the staff. And, you know, I think that'd be Jermaine Henderson. I don't think he's going to hire Shane to be that guy. I don't think Shane's quite there yet. And I don't know if Drew's necessarily what you're looking for as an assistant coach. You know, I think if I'm a betting man, I'm guessing it's probably going to be Jermaine Henderson, and maybe we'll learn about that this week. Maybe it'll be next week, but this is so frustrating. It's exactly like the Brad Korn hire a few years back. You know, I think they took almost a month to hire Brad Korn, and they could have hired him within the first week because Brad Korn had been on the staff, and absolutely he was going to take that job offer. And, you know, here we are about a week later or so, and this spot still hasn't been filled, and if he goes out and hires somebody else, then fine. I'm cool with the buffer time. But if you're just going to hire in the staff, why didn't you just do it the day after Chester left? And like, you got to get out there and let people know right now that you got a full staff. You got to let them know who your coaches are. And here we are, like I said, almost a week later, and we still got nothing. So I guess, if he goes outside of the local in staff kid or guys and hires somebody from out there, then fine, I'm cool with it. But if this just ends up being Jermaine Henderson or someone on the staff, it just isn't going to make a whole lot of sense to me why this is taking so long and why you're there trying to drag it out longer than it needs to be.
No, I completely agree with that. We're talking with Riley Gates, GoPowerCat.com, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty, Beloit, Heineken Electric, Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. All right, time for the off-the-wall question, and I've spent a lot of time with you, Riley, obviously. One thing we like to do is eat. I think people would know that, right? We enjoy food.
Maybe.
I want to know, I don't know if Wade's ever asked you this question or not, but my off-the-wall question, because I like when I go to K-State games or when I go to games, I like to get that medium meal. You know, that's half the reason I go out to places is for the free food. So I want to know, what's the best place for your press box food or your press box meal? I'm guessing it's probably at a football stadium because basketball, you probably don't get as many options. But what place that you've gone within the Big 12 or outside of that has the best press box food?
Oh, man. Excuse me, that's a good one. Do bowl games count?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
You were there, it counts.
I'll tell you this, it's definitely not Iowa State. Iowa State's got to be the worst. We always say that Iowa State belongs in the MAC with their accommodations for everything. So it's certainly not Iowa State, and I was not impressed with KU's when I was there for that one. If I gotta pick one, I think I'm either gonna have to say that the Texas Bowl in 2016 was really good, or Baylor this past season. And I think I'm probably gonna give the edge to the Texas Bowl, and here's why. You're in Houston, and we showed up, and they kind of had like a Tex-Mex buffet thing going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're down in Houston, you're going to get the good stuff. And then, obviously I had all the desserts as well, cookies and all cakes and all this stuff. So that was real nice. And then at halftime, they brought out chicken strips.
Oh,
you
nice.
Got like two meals in one game. So like, I don't really know how you can really top that. That would probably have to be mine, for an experience as a whole. At K-State, my favorite one was my freshman year of college. They had, it was that West Virginia morning game at the end of the season, and they had biscuits and gravy with pulled pork over the top of it. That was real good.
Yeah, and I missed that game.
That's unfortunate.
Everybody was bragging about that, and I'm like, man, I missed it. I think I asked Brian Henney that question once, and I think he said Baylor, too. Like, Baylor must have some good stuff.
It's just a nice setup, and it's good. So I think we had, I don't really remember what we had, to be honest with you, but I remember it was good. It was a good setup.
I shouldn't have asked this question. I'm hungry now.
Yeah, it's a little too far from watch still, too.
All right, Riley, what do you got coming up here at Go Power Cat? What are you going to be working on? I know we talked about a lot of the stuff that you're working on right now, but what can we look forward to coming up?
Right, yeah, we'll keep digging with the situation surrounding Hunter Risen and hopefully have some stuff there. And then obviously just kind of the day-to-day stuff. We'll get Caleb Grill's visit ends today, and hopefully I can get a hold of him later today or tonight and get a recap of how that went and hopefully get a better idea of which way he's leaning right now. And hopefully for K-State fans, it's for K-State. So we'll kind of see where his head's at and just go from there.
All right. Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. Thanks again for joining us. And I think Wade will be back with you next week, all right?
Well, this has been fun. Let's do it again.
All right. Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. Again, thanks to Riley for joining us here today on the Sports Ticket on Katy Country 94. Again, that's brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electrical Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. So thanks to Riley for joining us again here today. 9:57 our time here on Katy Country 94. Thanks to everybody for listening to the Sports Ticket. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on Waterside Wake Up.